production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Nice looking day. A little cool, but I mean, still a much more pleasant day than we have seen over the last few days when there was a lot of rain and wind. It's been a pretty comfortable day today. Hope everybody doing well. It's Bill and Drew in the studio right now. Dan, a little under the weather, but he's going to check in with us in between our guests today. So we'll hear from Dan at around 4:30 this afternoon as we we have our regular Tuesday guests lined up, starting with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, in just a couple of minutes. And then at 5:30, Jake Crane from Crane & Company will join us. So Dan, hopefully up to it, and we'll be joining us in between those guys. We'll get to your phone calls in a little while on a day where Auburn announcing a few more additions to the football staff for Alex Golish and the all SEC teams. SEC team announced earlier today, and Auburn with four representatives on the all SEC team. Xavier Atkins, a first teamer. And then three representatives on the third team, as both Keldrick Falk and Kieron Crawford defensively, and Jeremiah Cobb making the third team. So we'll run down the all conference team. We'll talk more about the college football playoffs, the bowl situations. Utah today announcing a $500 million deal that is going to benefit their athletics program. And I mean, in these days of NIL, it is extremely important to find, you know, more ways of adding money to the athletics program, and looks like Utah with a huge step there. We'll talk about that and a lot more, but here early on, we're going to go ahead and get to the Drive hotline. Welcome in the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here on the Tuesday Drive. Andy, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing very well, thank you, and I hope you guys are having a good day.
Yeah, boy, it's a whole lot prettier than it's been the last few days.
Yeah, good to see some sunshine, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, no, go ahead.
In the midst of final exams on the Auburn campus right now, and Auburn basketball with yesterday and today off from practice time. I think Auburn resumes workouts tomorrow in the midst of this finals week, and then gearing up to play Chattanooga on Saturday. That same Chattanooga team plays an NAIA school tonight, and then we get ready for a holiday hoopsgiving over at State Farm Arena in Atlanta at 3:30 on Saturday.
Yes, that is an event that has been very kind to Auburn through the years. Auburn has played extremely well over there in the holiday hoopsgiving events.
Well, it's become a great venue for Auburn. Mm-hmm. Bill, I mean, Auburn's had great success in this event, holiday hoopsgiving, year in and year out. Auburn has recruited so very well in the Atlanta area as well, but when Auburn a year ago basically had everything but a home court advantage for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight in the same venue last March. So always look forward to being back in Atlanta, and I expect that we'll see a big, big Auburn crowd there on Saturday afternoon as Auburn gets set for this Chattanooga ball club.
Yeah, I sure think so. And this is one where you had a couple of people saying, you know, how did it – that Auburn have Chattanooga. Well, that wasn't the original plan. I believe there were a couple of other possibilities there, but I'm sure the Mocs will give it everything they have as Auburn goes over there this weekend.
Well, it's a Mocs team that did very well in the NIT a year ago, mm-hmm. and you know, Auburn looking to bounce back after a thorough loss at Arizona on Saturday night out in Tucson. Great atmosphere, by the way. I mean, my first trip to Tucson, my first trip inside the McHale Center. And, I mean, for those that follow college basketball, that's one of the grand venues.
No question.
In college basketball, and it was packed. There was 14,699, I believe, is the capacity. And there were probably a few more folks in the stands, and they put on a great show. And that's a really good Arizona ball club that scored 60 points in the paint against Auburn Bill on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, we were talking yesterday, and I've talked about it through the early portion of this season, that is going to be a concern for Auburn. Now, I don't know that they're going to face any front lines that will come close to what they've seen in both Arizona and Michigan, but still have to be a little concerned about the front court and the depth in there. And Stephen Pearl saying, you know, after the game that Emeka Opurim's probably going to have to get in there and they're going to have to get something from him. I mean, I know that they'd rather, you know, have him build his confidence and try to build up his strength, you know, add a little weight to him before they throw him out there. But when you're going up against, you know, such impressive front courts, it's nice to have an extra body or two.
Well, on Auburn, we'll see a front court like they saw against Arizona, like they saw against Michigan. They'll see that in a week and a half.
Yep.
When it plays Purdue in Indianapolis on the 20th or the 21st, whichever, I'm not sure what that date is. But they'll see a big, big physical front line. And we'll see that in the Southeastern Conference. So that is something that Auburn has to continue to work on and figure out ways to beat those teams that will be bigger than Auburn. Like less than a year ago, Auburn faced a team that was bigger than the Tigers. I mean, when you have Jani Broome and Dylan mm-hmm. Cardwell on the inside, you're not going to face a better front line than you see from those two. Well, those two guys are now playing in the G League and the NBA right now. And so Auburn's got to figure out a way. And I think solution is more production from Emeka Opurim at this point on the inside.
In the meantime, you know, Keyshawn Murphy has had his moments, but just staying healthy and staying out of foul trouble have been a couple of problems for the big guy.
Well, there's no question. Auburn's just not as deep on the inside as it was a year ago. And, you know, Murphy has been hurt on a couple of occasions mm-hmm. this season. And, you know, getting him healthy. And that, I think that was one of the messages that Stephen Pearl gave to his team after that game against Arizona was, listen, you guys got to take care of things in the classroom, this being final exams week. And for those of you that are a little bit dinged up, rest. Get in the training room. Get some therapy. Get in a lift, you know, and now get ready for Chattanooga. And then in a week, get ready for a Purdue team that has spent a good portion of this season so far as the number one team in the country at this point.
Well, Auburn's played two teams that right now I think a lot of people feel may be the best two teams in the country, and a Purdue team coming up that has been number one. Love to get your thoughts. I mean, you've seen both Michigan and Arizona up close. You know, what are your thoughts on how those two, I mean, they and a couple of other teams just look like they're sort of separating themselves from the rest of the country, at least here early on?
I think that Michigan ball club from top to bottom is the best team that Auburn has faced this season. I'm not, that doesn't by any stretch of the imagination diminish that Arizona ball club that Auburn saw. I think Arizona actually may be deeper than Michigan. Some may disagree with me there, but I was impressed with the depth of Arizona. I was impressed with that front five, that first five of Michigan, and how physical, and I mean, they go 6'9", 6'9", 7'2",
right,
across the front line with Michigan. And they're an athletic 6'9", and 6'9". 7'2", isn't quite as athletic, but 7'2" doesn't have to be
7'2",
athletic.
7'2", it's 7'2", that's right.
You're 7'2", for goodness sake. So they're both very, very good basketball teams, Bill. I think those are two teams that are very strongly will be vying for Final Fours this season. And this is an Auburn ball club that I do believe this. I believe this is an Auburn ball club that will continue to improve. And it's got to find ways to win ball games against these favored teams, especially that are as big and as physical as the Arizonas and Michigans and potentially the Purdues of the world. And then, for goodness sakes, when you get to the Southeastern Conference, I mean, the grind, the gauntlet that is the SEC this year. So there's a lot of challenges coming up for this Auburn ball club. And the first of which is bouncing back,
right,
and playing well against Chattanooga Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've had conversations with a couple of folks that said, you know, they sort of like the fact that after that Michigan game, you got St. John's the next day. You didn't have time to be dwelling on that, thinking about that, and wondering about it may be a little more difficult when you go through an extended period here after that last ball game was one that just went completely awry, especially in the second half, Saturday night out in Arizona.
Auburn closed the first half on an 8-0 run, took some momentum into the locker room, trailed by 12. And I felt that's manageable.
Yeah.
At this point. And then, and Auburn had the side out to open the ball, the second half. Got a pretty good look. It didn't go. And then Arizona just completely took over the game and never looked back in that one. So I didn't feel fabulous, but I felt encouraged at halftime by the way Auburn played in the last couple minutes of the first half. But Arizona just completely took over in the second half of play. And then that from that point on, it was, you know, just try and execute. Because the game was decided, unfortunately, with that Arizona ball club. So it's time now to get better. Time now to get better with this ball club at this point, Bill. And it starts on Saturday with that Chattanooga ball club. And then you go to Indianapolis. And although that's a neutral site, at Indianapolis with Auburn-Purdue will be very similar to what Auburn-Purdue was in Birmingham last year. It's an hour and a half away from campus, and you know there's going to be a ton of Boilermaker fans there on a week from Saturday.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, one of the things Auburn looking for right now is consistency. I mean, you've seen moments from multiple players. I mean, Tahad nearly had half of Auburn's points the other night. Keyshawn Hall was the only other player in double figures, and Auburn couldn't get anybody else going. And we've seen different players. Obviously, Hall has had an outstanding start, you know, averaging close to a double double. But then Kevin Overton coming off a 29-point outburst against St. John's really couldn't buy a bucket, and it seemed the same way for a lot of other guys. That's one of the things that I'm sure Stephen and the staff are looking for is, you know, getting guys, you know, being able to, have an idea that you're going to get something on a consistent basis, night in and night out from these guys as they still learn each other.
Well, there's no question. I mean, this is a team that's got to get better as the season goes on. I don't think there's a question, and I think it will. I watched this team, Bill, in scout, both home and on the road. And this is an engaged ball club. While they're watching these scouts, I think this is a ball club that wants to get better, and I think it will. But you're just it's a different ball club than it was a year ago for Auburn. But I do think that this is going to be a team that continues to improve as the season goes along. And I mean, take a look. You know, we talked a lot about Auburn's non-conference schedule last year, and it was unbelievable. And that Auburn team was so very good. Well, this non-conference schedule is pretty sporty too. When you face
indeed
Houston, Oregon, Michigan, St. John's, Arizona, and Purdue, and North Carolina State. That's a pretty sporty non-conference schedule before you even get to January when Auburn starts SEC play on the road at Georgia.
Yeah, I would call it more of a gauntlet than sporty, to be honest, Andy. I mean, it is quite the challenge. There's no question about that.
Agreed.
Andy Burcham with us here early on. I want to talk a little football and Andy's interview with Alex Golish and more. We'll get to our first break. Stick with us as we continue with the Voice of Auburn on the other side here on the Tuesday Drive.
At Game Day Men's Health in Auburn, it's all about helping men look
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Drew here in the studio. Dan a little under the weather, but he'll check in by phone in a little while. And in the meantime, we're talking with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, here on the Tuesday drive. Andy, with an opportunity for a sit-down with Alex Golish. I've just gotten to hear parts of it. Haven't had a chance to hear the whole thing, but he's a really interesting person, it just in the couple of times that the media has been around him, Andy, and he really there's no question he is driven.
That's the very least that we have seen from Alex Golish. We were all there for the press conference yesterday that dealt with signing day and his growing staff that he continues to make those hires there. But that was a 50-minute press conference yesterday.
Right.
And I think everyone that wanted to ask a question was given the opportunity to ask a question yesterday. And his answers were incredibly well thought out and thorough.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a throwaway question or answer.
Not at all.
By Alex Golish yesterday. I mean, he is very engaged in those that Q&A that he is getting. And it was the same way. I sat down with him a week ago tomorrow on signing day for about 40 minutes. And we could have gone much longer, but it was signing day, and he had other things that he needed to be tending to.
Sure.
But I'm intrigued by his – listen, there's no question, Bill, and I was talking with Jason Campbell about this today. This man wants to be the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. Mm-hmm. I don't have any question in my mind that he wants to be here right now. And there were other names that were talked about, and one that ended up elsewhere in the Southeastern Conference that I think by the time it was all said and done, he didn't necessarily want to be or didn't know if he wanted to be the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. This man wanted to be the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. And I like the drive that he has shown in his week and a day as Auburn's head coach. Get this staff in, tackle the recruiting or the transfer portal in January, begin those winter workouts. I think spring practice is going to be as intriguing as it has been in a long time, just from a quarterback standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
There will be competition at the quarterback spot, I think, for Auburn in spring ball. So, and, you know, what does A-Day look like? I mean, it had basically turned into a year ago, not even a practice, just kind of a day, so to speak. Do we go back to an actual game, or is there something else? I do think it's going to be another one of those days, Bill, that is going to incorporate a weekend of home baseball and softball and A-Day. So it'll be a huge weekend on the campus. I don't know the date of it, but that's what I'm being told, is that it will incorporate football and baseball and softball on campus. So that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then into the summer, you know, what does this ball club look like when the transfer portal is done? Because there are some holes to be filled. Moving forward. So it's an intriguing time, but I'm impressed by the drive, the passion that this man seems to have for Auburn and for this job. And, you know, every time that we've heard from him, he has talked about the effect that Auburn has on his players and that Auburn has on the Cody Burns of the world, a former player that's now back for another time as an assistant coach at Auburn. And the, one of the things that intrigued me yesterday was, you know, everybody that he talked to, all of the players, 100% of the players, and I think there are some of those guys that probably aren't here.
Oh, yeah.
Or are not going to be here anymore, but they all talked about the profound effect that Auburn had on them. And I think that's something that drives Alex Golish as well. Do you get that impression, Bill?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Not so much for, you know, what specific player or anything, just hearing his conversations with the players, because the way he has spent time with the media, and as you said, his responses there, I think very thoughtful. I think I'm sure these are very, very in-depth conversations he's having with all these players. He talked about having them from the crack of dawn until the middle of the night, basically, depending on when the players wanted to talk. And I can see him doing that and being very engaged in that. It's going to be really interesting, Andy, to keep up with this, with the roster, and see, because there's no doubt he wants to know what players really want to be. You talk about him wanting to be at Auburn. I agree with that 100%. He wants to know what players want to be at Auburn, and will do everything, I believe, in his power to accommodate those players if they fit into, you know, his plan.
I agree with you 100%. Well, let me quote you 100%. I truly believe that. I was on another radio station this morning, as because I always do this radio station in the morning and the drive in the afternoon.
Sure.
He was on before me
today
in Birmingham. It was Jocks in Birmingham.
Sure. Yeah,
had a fascinating comment when they were asking him about DJ Durkin and the fact that DJ Durkin is staying on as Auburn's defensive coordinator. And I never even thought about this, but he admitted that, you know, when he was an offensive coordinator, there would be times in a game that he would be wondering, what in the world is this defensive coordinator doing? What are they doing? Because he was thinking of it solely from the offensive side of the ball. And he said that perspective changed immediately when he became the head coach. And he had to think about it for the entire program, not just the offense. And he was talking about that with regard to DJ Durkin and how important it was and is that DJ Durkin is staying on as the defensive coordinator for Auburn. Listen, we all knew that one of the reasons that Auburn wanted, that the family, Auburn family, I think, wanted DJ Durkin to stay on, in addition to the play of this defense in his time as Auburn's defensive coordinator, but also to keep some guys, retain some of this recruiting class, retain some of these star players on this Auburn team as well. But, you know, you think about a head coach that comes in, he takes over for an interim head coach, and he is asking that interim head coach to stay on as defensive coordinator again. You got to kind of thread the needle.
Right, no question.
In that situation, with that individual, with your team as well. I mean, he recognizes how important DJ Durkin was to this Auburn team, not only as his time as defensive coordinator, but as his month as the interim head coach, and how much these guys wanted to play, and on both sides of the ball too, by the way, both of the sides of the ball, and let me add the third perspective in there, the special teams. I must say, wanted to play for DJ Durkin, and so you drop a little bit of your ego when you say, listen, I want this guy to still be here, knowing that some of those players really want to play well for DJ Durkin in addition to this head coach. And you know what? There's got to be a little bit of a, as a defensive coordinator whose name was, I think, prominent
No doubt about that.
Football coach, you know, what did that do to DJ's ego as well? And so there, it's on both sides that both of these men have worked for DJ to stay on as the defensive coordinator. So it was interesting to hear him talk about how his perspective changed dramatically from going from being a coordinator to being the head coach.
Oh, I'm sure it had to, and I can't imagine any Auburn fan not being excited about this combination of offense and defense. The knowing what you have defensively and seeing the possibilities that are coming in offensively. So I think that's a really exciting thing, and looking forward to, you know, to spring ball. After we go through the winter workouts, but there's a lot going on. As you said, finals are going on right now. So update us on the goings on and what's coming up with the Auburn Sports Network.
Well, the Talking Tigers podcast this week is a try interview, so to speak. Our interviews with John Cohen and Brad Law, and I are doing these interviews with John Cohen and Cody Burns in our coverage leading up to Alex Golish's press conference. And his opening comments at that press conference were 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is this week's Talking Tigers podcast. Moving forward, spent about 50 minutes with Jason Campbell, who, along with Kim Evans and Tommy Tuberville, will go in next May in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. And Jason talks about being selected to that Hall of Fame. He joins Carnell Williams and Ronnie Brown from that backfield now in the Hall of Fame. And the work he's also doing on behalf of On to Victory with regard to the NIL efforts with Auburn. Fascinating to hear Jason talk about that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I will sit down with one of my all-time favorite people at Auburn, who was a long time with Auburn Bank, a long time Auburn City Councilman on the Auburn University Board of Trustees, and, oh, by the way, a really good Auburn University men's golfer.
Yes,
I believe
indeed.
The first ever scholarship golfer
right.
at Auburn. Bob Dumas is going to join me. And we'll talk with Bob just about his time at Auburn, a homegrown Auburn athlete. So that is coming up, and we're continuing to work on the Talking Tigers podcast. Next up on the Auburn Sports Network, Auburn and Chattanooga, Saturday at 3:30. Our coverage from the State Farm Arena will begin at 3 as the Tigers and the Mocs get ready. I'm sorry, I skipped over this. A Tiger Talk Thursday night.
Right.
Guests include Auburn men's basketball coach Stephen Pearl, women's basketball coach Larry Vickers, and gymnastics coach Jeff Graba. The gymnastics Tigers on Monday will host their preview meet at Neville Arena at 7. Admission and parking are free. And that'll be the last time that admission and parking for an Auburn gymnastics meet
that
is
right.
free this season.
So great opportunity there, folks.
Absolutely. You bet it is. So all of that coming up, and then, of course, we'll have Auburn-Purdue before Christmas a week from Saturday from Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Coverage begins that day at 5, I believe. I believe that's 5 o'clock, and that's a 5:30 tip-off for the second game of a doubleheader in Indy. And, of course, Indy serves as the host of the Final Four this season. So I'm hoping this is one of two trips that Auburn makes to the home of the Indianapolis 500.
Yes, absolutely, hopefully. Andy, really appreciate it. Know you've got to run. Appreciate you spending some time with us each Tuesday afternoon.
My pleasure, Bill. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week. War Eagle.
Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does on Tuesday afternoons. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. I think we'll hear from Dan, and we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in Tuesday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck doing some of the show from home. Precautionary measure. I want to make sure I'm not getting sick. And I've been traveling a lot these last couple of weeks. And so, yeah, you know, I'm gonna play it safe for Drew and for Bill, who is in the studio and just had his talk with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. And you can catch that on the podcast, ESPNAU.com, or use your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. But yeah, busy show yesterday, you know, talking Auburn basketball and the loss at Arizona, Auburn football, and Alex Golish's active first week as the head coach of the Auburn Tigers with some personnel moves and a lot of, a lengthy media opportunity yesterday. You know, he goes nearly an hour taking questions about a variety of subjects. That press conference is available. Couple different people have uploaded it to YouTube. University's got it on their page too, so you should check it out. I think if you're interested in hearing Alex Golish go long on a variety of subjects, including his philosophy with regards to, and he didn't speak in the kind of specifics where he's talking about individual players by name, but he was talking about sort of his priorities for retaining as much of the current roster as possible and as necessary, getting ready to go into the portal with the expectation that this team can turn things around pretty quickly if they can make the right moves and some thoughts behind members of his staff, both offensive and defensive coaches that are joining his first staff at Auburn, including some people from South Florida that he clearly trusts, Coach Gordon and Cody Burns, KB, gave a couple of answers talking about Cody's importance to his success the last couple of seasons, as well as the thinking behind DJ Durkin staying on as defensive coordinator, and we'll see. I know a lot of folks, it seems to me like one of the reasons folks believed DJ Durkin should get an extended look as the head coach was because there was a belief that DJ Durkin, more than almost anyone else Auburn could hire, would have the inside track on keeping the roster together.
Yes, retention.
Keeping as many players as possible from joining the portal and exploring their options elsewhere. And so I have no idea what's going to happen as far as roster retention with Alex Golish, but the fact that DJ Durkin is on the staff as the defensive coordinator and will continue in the role that he's had for most of the last two seasons, I think that would, if you thought DJ Durkin as head coach was going to be good for roster retention, especially on defense, I have to imagine DJ Durkin staying on as defensive coordinator should be a boost to Auburn trying to keep some of those really exciting. I mean, you've got some names in mind, Bill. When we talk about and I think especially freshmen and sophomores. You have some juniors with decisions to make, but look, Keldrick's already going to the Senior Bowl. You knew 3 years ago that you were only going to get 3 years of Keldrick Faulk, and you got, as advertised, I think, in those three seasons. But the some sophomores that have played a ton in their first 2 years, Malik Blockton, Jay Crawford, Xavier Atkins, Caleb Harris, right? You've got a couple guys that have just been out there a lot.
Jay Crawford, I guess you mentioned him. Yeah,
and then there's how about Amaris, right? Amaris,
right?
Out there a lot in year two of his college football career, and then there are multiple true freshmen that saw the field quite a bit this past season at defensive line, at linebacker, in the secondary, and you would think that there is, I think I said it on the Observer podcast, there's the nucleus, there's the skeleton of a really interesting defense in 2026, depending on how many of those players stick around and who you get to supplement slash replace some of the guys that you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Auburn's had eight players now announced that they're going to enter the transfer portal. The latest, Amon Lane Gaines, who saw a good bit of action, especially down the stretch this year for Auburn. But, I mean, I can understand he wouldn't be guaranteed a starting spot if everybody's healthy returning next year. So he and Horatio Fields, I guess, are the last two to announce that they're entering. Thus far, I haven't seen, I don't guess we've seen anyone who was a surefire starter for next year or that projected as a starter for next year that is announced that they're going to enter.
Yeah, you're waiting to hear, I mean, assuming Kay and Lee and Jay Crawford want to publicly make decisions,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, Kayan's a junior NFL draft eligible, also has a year of eligibility left in college football if he wants to use it at Auburn or somewhere else. Jay Crawford has played a lot of football in his first 2 years. If Auburn doesn't retain one of those two guys, I would think that it opens up a pretty drastic need for corner in the transfer market, and if you lose both of them, then suddenly I think you go from what you thought was a strength going into the 25 season, you at least go into the transfer portal in 26 with big question marks at both corner spots, depending on what Lee and Crawford decide to do. I think that I have to imagine Coach Golish would love to hold on to both of them. But then there's you've got a lot of freshmen, sophomores, right, at different mm-hmm. spots, Atkins and the linebackers who came on strong towards the end of the year, right? Juice and Melendez. I mean, you'd want to
and think about a healthy DeMarcus Riddick, which Auburn didn't have this year.
Really a speed bump of a second year for DeMarcus Riddick didn't really get started and trying to we'll see what the bounce back's like in year three, and then just a ton of defensive linemen, right, with various degrees of experience but seemingly a ton of potential. Like I could see why it's got to be holding that together or holding as much of it together as possible while also making the necessary changes elsewhere on the team. That becomes one of the big challenges over the next couple of weeks for Alex Golish and everyone around him in the football program.
And as that's going on, we're seeing more additions, official additions to the staff. Vontrell King Williams, we had heard he would return. You talk about the defensive front. Someone I've been very impressed with Vontrell, both as a coach and a recruiter, and his players really seem to respond well to him, so they know who's going to be coaching them. DJ Durkin on the official release was listed as defensive coordinator / linebackers, so there you are at linebacker. Don't know really yet exactly. I guess Brad Wilson could be a one of the secondary coaches because we're not sure what is what the situation with Crime Dog is. TJ Rushing apparently is headed elsewhere. There's been talk of Florida State or LSU, but doesn't look like he'll be back. So we're not sure exactly who's going to be handling that part. So there's still a couple of more hires to be announced there on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and I saw some buzz earlier today, and I'm hoping I didn't get hoaxed on social media. Bill, you can make
no about check. Coleman Huntsler.
That's the fellow from Mississippi State.
Indeed, was the defensive coordinator at Mississippi State. It's been multiple sites are reporting that he will be Auburn's new edge coach, and he is someone that has been with DJ Durkin at three different stops of DJ's career: at Stanford, Florida, and Ole Miss. So, he also was the edge coach at Alabama under Nick Saban for a couple of All-American edge rushers there. So that looks like a very significant hire, a proven SEC defensive coach there in Coleman Huntsler.
Yeah, and I think that Vontrell seemingly has done everything right in his first year as a defensive line coach, and I would hope. And I would imagine, for Auburn, I think the hope would be that keeping Vontrell makes it easier to hold some of that really promising room together. I mean, Bill, you didn't see a ton of, I mean, those true freshmen that we were talking about going into the season. But honestly, how often do you see true freshmen on the defensive line at all? You saw enough of it at Auburn to want to see more of guys like Malik and
Jordan Crawford. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's some really, really, I mean, there were others too, right? I mean, it's more than two. So, I mean, they've got some really promising young players there on the defensive line. Vontrell coached him this year, and hopefully that bond that he was able to form, maybe that keeps some of those guys at Auburn and playing for Coach Golish next year.
Yeah, we can. We'll run down the other hires. That was the only position hire that was confirmed today was Vontrell. In addition to the word that Coleman Huntsler will be joining the staff, some other staff additions that were announced officially by Auburn today. Harding Harper is Auburn's new executive director of recruiting. Let's see. He has been at Vandy, which was his alma mater, Houston, Colorado, and Alabama. After he spent this past year at South Florida, John Allen Stone, Stick. They list him. Stick Stone is going to be the director of football administration. Native of Columbia, Tennessee.
All due respect. That is a morning show DJ name. Right,
you know, it's not stick. My bad. It's slick. Okay. It's slick. I misread it when I looked. I had to increase it. Went, wow, that's an interesting. No, it's Slick Stone. That's a good one though.
Stick and Stone would be like
yeah. There you go. Break my bone. Could break my bones, but.
Flintstone is a good name too.
My bad. That's what I have. I had the print on my email was too small. I had to increase it a little bit. And also joining the staff, Director of Applied Science, Terrence T.K. Cannell, and Associate Director of Football Performance, Frank Falace. So some more additions to the support staff, which is extremely important. As Alex Golish continues to build the staff and continue to work with the personnel, both players and staff. Go ahead.
Stick and Stone would be like.
I know that would have been great.
Or it could be like a detective team, like on a TV show, right? Like
yeah, you're right.
He knows all about trees, and she knows all about rocks, right, or something, and they have to solve mysteries or something.
Oh yeah, well that's that might work.
The flu medicine's kicking in, Bill.
I hear you.
Break.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Hey, you can join us 334-321-1390. I tell you what, Dan, we'll let you take a break for a few minutes because we'll have a short segment when we come back. Maybe check back in a little bit in an hour or two before we get with Jake. All right.
All right, sounds good. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Jonathan here with University Ace Hardware at University
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio. Just got a couple of minutes left here in hour number one. We're going to open up the phone lines when we come back in hour number two. Probably check back in with Dan around 5:15 or so, and then Jake Crane at 5:30. So if you've got anything you want to talk about, you want to get it, talk about, how do you feel Notre Dame? Notre Dame and the ACC going back and forth at it today. Notre Dame talking how the ACC targeted them for the last 3 weeks. And I guess they're threatening to pull out of the ACC in other sports. You know, they act as a member in everything just about except for football. But, you know, I'm not going to cry too much about that. We're just about up to our top of the hour break. You heard me talking, talk about the game day men's health. I want to remind you again, you know, these folks are very helpful. If you have any questions, as a matter of fact, I was on the phone with Aaron just a little while ago when Dan brought us back, just checking on a couple of things. But I mean, they're absolutely tremendous, helping you out in whatever you need to get you back on track, get you feeling, you know, the way you used to feel. And they're open till 6 o'clock. You can give them a call, 209-3706. Again, we're coming up on our top of the hour break. We'll be wide open for a while there before we check back in with our guests. So come on in and join us in hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email TheDrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on what's been a nice-looking day. Yeah, enjoy it. I mean, we've had some wet and just weather. A little bit nicer today. It's going to actually warm up a little bit more, I believe, over the next couple of days. But welcome in, Bill here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Dan, a little under the weather, joined us for a segment in hour number one. May check back in here in the second hour of the show. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, who joined us right at the top of the show for a couple of segments. If you missed Andy, check out the podcast of The Drive wherever you get your podcasts, and they're usually available just a few minutes after the show ends. Right now, we're going to open up the phone lines. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, it is a week where there is no activity with Auburn University athletics because finals are going on. And then is graduation Saturday? This weekend? I'm sure there'll be multiple graduations, but that's going on. So finals are going on right now. Good luck to everyone with finals. So Auburn has the week off from competition. There's some huge basketball games on tap tonight. You know, we talked with Andy about, you know, the fact that the Tigers have already played Michigan and Arizona. They got Purdue coming up. Well, how about UConn, Florida, BYU, Clemson coming up? I mean, there's some really good ball games on tap to be watching while we wait for the Tigers to play again. And one of the things we were talking about, I mean, Auburn has, you know, will go through finals and have a week before they play Chattanooga over in the Holiday Hoopsgiving, and then have some more time off before they take on Purdue up in Indianapolis. And you wonder, you know, how Auburn's going to react to that long layoff after that one-sided loss to Arizona, a team that, you know, many folks may be the best team in the country. Although Andy felt that, you know, having seen both of them in person, he thought Michigan probably had an edge over Arizona. So, I mean, we'll see how those things go. Auburn announcing a few more additions to the football staff for Alex Golish today, including Vontrell King-Williams brought back. It hasn't been officially announced by Auburn, but it's been reported in multiple places that Auburn will be adding Coleman Hutzler, who has been the defensive coordinator for the past two seasons at Mississippi State, has also coached at Florida, South Carolina, Texas, Ole Miss, and Alabama in the SEC. Also, I mean, he has spent time with DJ Durkin at Florida and Mississippi State, maybe one other spot as well, and it looks like he is going to be the edge coach for Auburn. He's had some outstanding players during his time as an edge rusher, including Will Anderson and Dallas Turner when he was an assistant under Nick Saban. So Alex Golish continuing to add to his staff. I was thinking about it a little while ago. I mean, so we know that Vontrez King-Williams is the defensive line coach, that Coleman Huntsler will be the edge coach. DJ Durkin is now listed as defensive coordinator / linebackers. That could be, you know, I don't know if that's all the linebackers, but, you know, not really sure about the secondary as of now, although Brad Wilson has been announced as a defensive assistant, so you would figure that's going to be probably one of the spots there in the secondary. It looks like T.J. Rushing is headed to perhaps Florida State or LSU, but doesn't look like he will return. So Auburn looks like, I think they have at least one spot on defense. Now, the other thing you have to remember is you're not limited anymore. You can only have so many coaches that are involved game day coaching on the field, but you can have more coaches than it used to be. You know, you used to have 10 coaches, assistant coaches. Now there's really no limit. It's however many that the school can afford. Offensively, we know Joel Gordon is the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. We know that Cody Burns will be an offensive assistant and is the associate head coach. And we know that Tyler Hudanik is the offensive line coach. And I believe that's it on the offensive side. And then Auburn has a special teams. Because, so, I mean, there's still a couple of spots left to add. But the staff is being put together. And it's an interesting combination of, you know, experience and you look at relationships with DJ Durkin, who is the defensive coordinator, and guys over there on the defensive side, and then more on the, you know, Alex Golish / Joel Gordon relationships on the offensive side. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love to hear from you. Anything on your mind sports-wise. And we'll get to the phones, and I believe Ty the Tiger gets us started. What's up, Ty?
What's going on, guys?
Not a whole lot.
I just wanted to call, put my little two cents in on obviously the playoffs and the seeding and all that kind of stuff. You know, my first gripe is Ohio State only dropping one spot. I didn't think that was right. I felt like Georgia did enough where I felt like Georgia should have deserved the two seed, especially winning the toughest conference with only one loss to a red hot Alabama team, you know, back in September. I just felt like Georgia had done enough, shown enough, won enough games where, you know, they should have been catapulted. And not only that, you know, the one thing I hate about the playoff committee or this kind of playoff bracket seeding thing is the rematches.
Oh yeah, you're right.
I don't.
I wish they could have done something about that. You've got what? It's at least two rematches that I know of there with Ole Miss.
First round has two rematches with Ole Miss and Tulane.
Oh yeah, and then you're gonna get more after that.
And you could have swapped, you know, Tulane and James Madison, and then you would have had two fresh matchups. Mm-hmm. And now if Ole Miss wins that game, you got another rematch with Ole Miss and Georgia. And so, again, if Georgia gets the two seed, you got Ole Miss and Ohio State instead of Georgia. And, again, so there's another one. And then you got, obviously, the Alabama-Oklahoma. And that would, you know, again, I would have loved to see, you know, Miami or Notre Dame play Oklahoma. And then Alabama play A&M.
Well, how did Alabama not move down a spot? If Alabama moves down a spot, that changes things. And it's not like they were competitive with Georgia there, and they had been 9 the week before, and they stay 9. I don't understand that either.
I don't understand how they didn't drop at least one spot. I think they did it to solidify putting Miami in. You know, and everybody's all, well, Notre Dame did this and Notre Dame did that. And guys, look, we can try to reason with it, but look, if you want to know the real reason why Miami got in over Notre Dame, it was not head-to-head. You know what the real reason is?
Tell me.
It's money. You have money. This whole playoff committee.
You think Notre Dame brings a lot more eyes money-wise.
Yeah. But again, you're missing the big picture. They had to figure out a way to get an ACC team in the playoffs. These conferences get paid, all of them. It's a money thing. All you're doing with Notre Dame's money, send it to Notre Dame. You're not taking care of a conference.
Yeah. So the thing is, though, I wonder, Ty. I mean, I would think they're more interested in how much money they're bringing in than where it's being doled out.
Well, and that's another thing. And again, same point, back to the original question, how Alabama didn't drop money.
You're absolutely right about that. Alabama is the most watched team in college football.
Exactly. So it's all about the money. We can say that it's about fairness and who deserves this and who deserves that. But again, guys, this is the only sport that's played by college athletes that's truly not sanctioned or it doesn't have an NCAA champion. You know, mm-hmm. there's no right. NCAA champion. There is a college football playoff champion or a BCS champion or whatever. It's not an NCAA award. So it's all about this committee and this money and who can get the most and what conferences. Because, again, the whole rules were written thinking that ACC was at least going to have one in the top 10, right? Right. But, you know, it didn't happen last year. Didn't happen this year. And so then they had to maneuver and find a way. And they knew what they were doing the week before when they swapped Alabama and Notre Dame.
Yeah,
I mean, they knew
right.
exactly what they're doing. You know, and here's the thing. To the Alabama people, I will say, absolutely. If Notre Dame or Miami played Oklahoma, Auburn and Georgia for three of their last four games, let's see what that record would be. So I do get it, and Alabama's a good team, and they deserve to get in. But, if we're going to talk about the most deserving and the best teams in the field, I mean, Texas and Vandy are playing better than anybody in the last, seven teams that got in right now. You know, I mean, I would take Texas or Vandy over Oregon and down almost. I'd take them against Ole Miss, Oregon, Oklahoma.
I've said this yesterday. Look at Alabama down the stretch. They lose to Oklahoma. They Auburn outgained them by a ton, and then Georgia dominated them. Really, I mean, that's the difference in this and in basketball and baseball. There's an awful lot of emphasis on how teams are playing. And one of the things we heard about expanding to a 12-team playoff is, well, you could struggle early, but it's going to take the best teams that are the teams that are the most deserving coming down the stretch. No, not at all. That's not the case at all. I mean, I would say right now, I mean, if you really wanted to get into it, if you had Alabama and Notre Dame playing on a neutral field right now, who are you going to take? Are you going to take Alabama right now the way they're playing?
I take Notre Dame, Vandy, Texas, and Miami over the teams that were supposed to get in over Alabama
yeah.
on a neutral site this Saturday.
But right you're now. Exactly right. It's all because of the green.
Yes.
The dollars is exactly the reason that's the case.
And also, BMU and the Tulane, I'll just say this. We should do away with that. If the teams are good enough, like last year with Boise State, where they schedule good Power 4 teams and they win and they're ranked, they deserve to go. The automatic qualifiers, got to get rid of it. You saw how devastating it was the first year. They tried to tweak it. Now here we are looking at Notre Dame, Texas, and Vandy, teams that would be favored by probably three or four touchdowns.
Over those
over
group
JSU
of five teams? Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Tulane.
Yeah, it's great for those programs. They feel good, but I don't know how good they're going to feel after they get, you know, they can't hang with those guys. Yeah. Again, one of the things Dan's been talking about for years and we've talked about for a long time is, you know, let's let there be a group of five playoff. Let there be a group of five national champion. And if they're
a top ten team,
maybe they can get into the
group of five play in game where the best two group of fives, like Tulane and JMU, play each other, and then they get the final slot.
Yeah, maybe if they're high enough ranked, I think they need to be ranked in the top 10 or something, top 10 or 12, whatever, to be able to get in, not just because they were their conference was there. I mean, that's not a diss against them. As a matter of fact, I think I'd be a lot more excited watching a group of five playoff than I would be some of these bowls. As a matter of fact, let's take the bowls and make them part of the group of five playoffs or play-ins for a national championship at whatever level. That's the only way you'd ever get more interest in bowl games again.
And a lot of teams are exiting out of these bowl games. I mean, yep. Bowl games are coming to an end, and it's just the way of the times. It's all changing, man. But anyway, great to hear. Great to talk to you guys, man. Wish y'all the best. See y'all later on this week.
Good hearing from you, Ty. I mean, don't you think? I mean, it'd be a lot more interesting. And you got bowl games that are going to be starting really soon anyway. Go ahead and tie, you know, a playoff type system into them so that they actually mean a little bit more. All right, we'll get to our first break. We may hear from Dan again, but you can give us a shot. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
This is
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 20 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday evening. Bill here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and we'll head to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar and check in with Brian down in Jupiter. Hey,
Mr. Bill. You in there by your – just you and Drew today, huh?
Yeah, well, Dan wasn't feeling great, so, I mean, it was actually he said he didn't want to come in and spread germs for me and Drew, and I appreciate that, so that's fine. He did check in a little while ago, so hopefully he'll be back tomorrow.
No, I think, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think a lot of the callers have, is that a G5 playoff would be fantastic, and I think I don't see why you couldn't do that, and it'd be just as prestigious as a big boy one. I think another solution, too, that I think would work, now I'm not saying it would work every year, but you could also add, and again, this is adding additional games to what we currently have, but how great would it be to have, like, you could take a JMU and you could take a Tulane, two guys, like either you wanted to give Vandy or Texas a shot and then Notre Dame the other shot, but have them play those two people to play in, you know, as a play-in game for, you know, I know what the end result's going to be. I mean, we all do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes more sense for them to have their own G5 playoff, but that would be another way that you could say, hey, this gives the JMUs and the Tulanes a shot at making it into the big boy playoff. But if they don't, you know, they played Notre Dame and Texas, and then Texas and Notre Dame then take those two spots. I think that would be a reasonable thing, too, if you wanted to keep them in that Cinderella conversation.
I like that. As a matter of fact, I like that better than some of the other conversations I've heard or read that people have said, well, let's have an NIT version. Let's have a second tournament for the teams that you know, felt like they should be in, for Notre Dame, Texas, Vandy, those schools there. And it's like, nah, I don't need that. I mean, I'd be much more interested in either a play-in or that group of five. I think if you did that, you could actually you know, save some of the bowl games that are out there now that I don't know how how they're gonna last. I mean, they're getting by now because ESPN is supporting them. It doesn't matter. You look at some of them, and there's nobody in the stands. There would be a lot more interest, and I think people would go if they felt like their teams were actually playing for something the way it used to when, you know, when there wasn't a playoff. You just felt a lot better about playing in a bowl game because, hey, you might have a chance to win a title. Even if you don't win a title, it seemed to mean more than these bowl games do now.
Well, I think, you know, that unfortunately, I live down in an area where we get all the bowls. I mean, I go to Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to numerous Outback Bowls. I've been to numerous Citrus Bowls when Auburn used to go. I haven't been to a bowl game in years because it's gotten to the point like what's the point?
I mean,
granted, we haven't been to one down here in a while, but it used to be. I mean, and that's kind of the sad state of that frustrates me as a longtime college fan, and I'm sure it frustrates you as well. Is that, you know, if you're not playoff, or it's become your playoff or bust now,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it used to be that a 9-3 season was a good season. I mean, Pat Dye had 9-3 seasons. Tommy Tuberville had 9-3 seasons. We were over the moon about it. And you'd go to the Citrus Bowl and everybody'd show up and it was a great bowl game. Now, if you're not in the playoffs, it's like, well, we suck this year, you know, and it's unfortunate.
You also now
a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you didn't used to worry about losing half your team either each year. I mean, you had an idea. I mean, a lot of the fun of bowl games would be, hey, some of the young guys who may not have played that much during the year, give them an opportunity and let's see what the future looks like. Now, if you do that, you run the risk of, you know, showing players to everybody else that could be coming after them, you know, and offering them more in NIL. I mean, it's such a completely different game now. That some teams are like, no, hey, I'd rather hang on to my players. And besides, the fans don't care about going to these games anyway. Why should the players?
Yeah, no, it is. And well, and the other thing, too, I mean, they used to get all kinds of gifts and all that stuff.
Right.
And it's like, well, they can buy their own. They can buy all that stuff.
They can buy a whole lot better things than they used to get. You're right.
I got one quick thing that I got an idea. I'm being half joking and half serious on this. I wonder if you could ever do something like this, but I got a solution to our deuce problem. So here's the situation. Let's take the kid from South Florida,
mm-hmm.
and we'll
Byron Brown.
Make an agreement with Heartline, and we'll say, hey, we'll give you deuce for a year. We'll pay deuce $1 million. You guys can pony up whatever you were going to pay your quarterback.
I like it.
We'll send deuce down to South Florida. He can play for a year, and then we want him back the year after
that. Yeah, well, farm him out to AAA for a year. I like that.
I mean, what? I don't know if you could work something like that, but I don't see why that wouldn't work.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't promote that you're doing something like that, but you probably could. I mean, I don't see why not in the situation that we have right now, that current situation. That doesn't sound crazy.
No, he goes in place for a year. He's in essentially a farm system, and then, you know, when he gets to play an entire year. He gets that experience. He gets to play in a system, and then you bring him back, you know, and you pay him a starter salary. I don't know. It's just a thought. Like I said, I'm half joking, but I wonder if you could do something like that.
I wouldn't rule that out, that it could be done somewhere. I mean, you'd have to have the right situation. You better have a really good relationship with the player and the coaches that are involved.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all I got.
All right, good stuff, Brian. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390, and Slack is up next. Hey, Slack. There we go. Can you hear me, Slack?
Yeah, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
All right. Hey, how about let me give you something to chew on in just a minute. Just say both people just do away with people traveling to the ball games. And the higher-ranked team hosts the bowl game in their stadium.
Oh, I like that. I mean, that's a reward for the higher-ranked team. I wish, You know, I wish the playoffs would.
And the bowl committee just pay out like they normally do. Or everybody should be responsible for some NIL money. How about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think bowls are going to have to get to the situation where the incentive is the players are getting something more than, you know, Brian was talking about they get gifts. A whole lot more incentive if they're getting cash.
Right. Nobody wants to watch on a Nintendo and a Game Boy anymore.
No, you're right about that.
You know, just how about donating some money to the NIL, the school that wins, just like this basketball tournament we just got.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're going to see more and more of that in basketball, and I think football's got to figure a way to try to do something like that.
Yeah. The everybody's beating on Notre Dame right now, and I know everybody knows Notre Dame is a NBC-sponsored school.
Right.
So why should Notre Dame go to Florida and put money in ESPN's pocket?
That's a good point. Nah, that's part of it. I don't know that it's a huge part of it. But, I mean, look, I think Notre Dame's letting it be known that they're okay financially, that they don't have to go to this bowl game, and don't think that this will be the last one that comes up. We'll see how long the playoff field stays at 12. I think we're going to get to 16 very, very quickly after this and see some more changes in the setup as to how things are played. I hope we're going to have more home games and fewer byes is what I would hope as we move on here in the playoffs.
And you know, the one thing that everybody's forgetting about is Bama lost to a 5-7 team.
That's exactly right.
Nobody's saying that.
Nope.
Everybody's saying Notre Dame lost to Miami. They lost to two teams that are in a bowl game.
Yeah, and I'm hearing, well, and losing those first two really hurt. Losing that first one, you're exactly right. Losing that first one for Alabama to a 5-7 Florida State team doesn't seem to bother anybody at all.
Talking about that, and then you get drilled in the SEC championship game, and you don't even drop a spot.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm with you, Slack. Appreciate it, man. 334-321-1390. We'll get one more before our bottom of the hour break. And Keith is up next. Hey, Keith.
Hey, I just wanted to call in about the new coach. I haven't been able to call since he's been hired, but I just wanted to show my support for him, whatever that's worth. And, you know, I thought Summerall would have been was going to be the perfect fit, but just like Andy said, I mean, it seems like he didn't want to be here as bad, and I think we might have got the better coach. I mean, the more you look into him and the more you hear from him, the better you feel about him, and I think he's the kind of guy that understands – well, Summerall probably does too, but he really understands modern-day football where, you know, I felt like Freeze, when he got there, he did have to build the roster up and all that, but, you know, how a lot of people said, you don't want to win early, or, you know, you don't win, go undefeated, or win 10 games and right off the bat. But I just never understood that philosophy, you know. And then I think that's exactly what you want to do, and then just build on it. And
whatever you do, you need to, you know, keep working on improving. I mean, it doesn't mean that you need to be terrible early on. You know, the concern is if you win so much early on, then the expectations are going to be you need to do that. But you need to win. You need to win, and you do need to win as soon as possible in these days, because there's not the patience that there used to be with the NIL, with the transfer portal, with things like that. Players can move so quickly, and the expectations are you can get things turned around and headed in the right direction. I agree with you. I think Alex Golish has shown. I mean, you look at his, you know, his story, and he's somebody that understands work. I mean, working hard to get somewhere. But I really like the combination. I was wondering how John Summerall, who is a defensive coach, and DJ Durkin could coexist. Whose defense was it going to be? Now there's no question. It's DJ Durkin's defense. It's Alex Golish's offense. And I think it's pretty exciting to look at.
Yep. And like you say, there's just too many examples of you get the right guys in there with a lot of talent. And 1 year, you know, you can't always do it, but there is a lot of situations where you get the right people in there and coach them up right. I mean, you can turn it around in a year.
Look at Indiana. You know,
right. Yeah. Look at Louisville when that guy got there. You know, on and on. I mean, look at the Georgia Tech coach. I mean, he just good coaching. You know, you got to have the players and the roster, but it don't always overcome good coaching. I mean, good coaching
still matters. You're absolutely right, Keith.
It really does, and I think we got a good one.
Appreciate it, Keith. Good hearing from you.
Thank you.
Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll check in with Jake Crane on the other side, so stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Just Bill here in the studio today. Dan, a little under the weather. He should, hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. Drew's at the controls. Right now we're going to head to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and welcome in our good friend Jake Crane from Crane & Company. Hey, Jake, how's it going today?
Man, it's going fantastic. One of the best times of the year, obviously, with college football, you know, coming down to the wire in the playoff, college basketball heating up, NFL getting close to the playoffs, and I think I'm done with my Christmas shopping already, so
wow.
I'm ahead of the game right now. I'm feeling good. This is a first. So this is what this feels like.
Man, I was going to say more than 2 weeks out. I'm close, yeah. but I'm impressed.
I've literally impressed myself, to be honest. I typically don't brag on myself, but I'm pretty excited. Future Jake's really, really excited about what current Jake's doing. So.
Well, that's cool. Hey, it is a fun time. Let's jump into the college football situation that we have right now with Notre Dame and the ACC in a little bit of a spitting match right now. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Well, I love how, you know, Notre Dame acts like they're just fully in the conference and just expects the ACC to treat them like, give them all the good
take
parts,
care of
but,
us.
But they don't have to. Yeah, it's just Notre Dame's such a pick me girl. It's crazy. But look, to me, you know, the teams that Notre Dame needs to be mad at are James Madison and Tulane.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we have two Group of Five teams, and look, I coached at a Group of Five place. That there's years where the Group of Five has obviously earned their way in. They earned their way in a 4-team playoff with Cincinnati. People forget that, but there's no way that in a 12-team college football playoff that we need to have two Group of Five teams in it. That's who they should be mad at. To me, I think the easiest thing, and I've said this, is at the end of the year, you need to have 10 teams that are locked in. Then you'd have 11 play 14 and 12 play 13, and those two are added to make a 12-team playoff. I mean, just think of the games we'd have had. We'd have had BYU-Vandy. We'd have had, I think, Notre Dame-Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of those two would be in. It's just that, to me, it's just the craziest rule. And but no, with the teams that were left between Notre Dame, Miami, and Alabama, as much as, you know, I'm obviously not a fan of Alabama, Notre Dame should have been the team that was left out. So I have no problem with that. It's just, man, the way we go about it is just nuts.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's really interesting because the caller just before we went to our bottom of the hour break was talking about the same thing, a play-in, that would have been more interesting. And another thing that we've been talking about, Dan's been a proponent of this for a long time, and that's having a Group of Five playoff with a Group of Five national champion. I mean, you don't think that that Tulane or James Madison or any Group of Five school would be thrilled to be in a playoff where they could win a national championship? I do.
Well, you know, we've actually asked a bunch of Group of Five coaches about this. And to be honest with you, it's about split down the middle. Half of them are like, no, we can win a national championship here. And then the other half, I think obviously
are realistic.
Depends on where you're at, kind of realize it. And look, a Group of Five playoff would do well. I don't think you're ever going to be able to get over that hump until we go to a Super League. And then it's going to be interesting to see which Group of Fives get pulled up and which Power Fours get left off. Like, I would rather have, if I'm in a Super Conference, I would rather have Memphis than Wake Forest.
You're right. One of the things that I've thought though is if you do something like that, you could allow a Group 5 school, if they are ranked high enough, the option of saying, hey, we'll pass on our playoff and play in yours if they are ranked high enough to be eligible to be selected. I mean, something like that.
Yeah, look, yeah, and in a perfect world that would work, but then what happens when they're not in the Group of Five playoff and they get eliminated and somebody else is crowned the Group of Five champion and they're like, wait a minute, we were the best team in the Group of Five. We were so good, we got to go play in the other one. Not that would totally kill it, but I could see that happening.
You're right.
Yeah, like I
just wonder if something like that or, you know, some – I'd also love to try to come up with some way to make bowls ever be significant or meaningful.
I've got one, Bill. Good. I've been saying it for years. We need a version of the NIT for college football. To me, what I think you do is you take the next 12 teams that are out and you put them in an exact same format tournament, but obviously you can't win a national championship. But just like the Players Era tournament – that we just saw in college basketball, there's NIL money involved.
Mm-hmm.
So every round
there's got to be NIL money
get a
involved.
Cut of NIL money, so it's incentive not only for the schools but also for the players individually. I mean, we already give bowl gifts, right, to the teams that play in bowls. Heck, we got ones for the Camellia Bowl that we played in. So I think there's a way to do it to try and save it because look, it's been dead.
Oh yeah,
the
no
bowls
kidding.
Have been dead. So like we can sit here and want. And be nostalgic and all this stuff, or you just got to embrace what way can we make them count again. I think an NIT-style tournament with NIL money on the line, I think could go a long way.
The other thing is I think you're going to go ahead and get to 16 very, very soon, I think, as far in the college football playoff, and you'd end up being...
Well, Bill, I want to ask you this, too, uh-huh. though. Like, at what point, if we keep this system with the bowls, like, at what point are they just going to make 5 and 7 teams eligible? Not, like, have to go through APR and stuff like this, because so many schools
I hope
are
not.
Turning it down. I mean, they're having to reach for 5 and 7. I've never seen so many.
Well, that's because there are too many bowls. I mean, there are. Let's face it. I mean, I know ESPN loves the inventory, and that's really what it's all about right now. It's not about – I mean, you're not getting crowds going to most
that's
of these
right.
games. I mean,
yeah,
it's just the ESPN inventory, and it's there for gamblers. But, I mean, that's 100%. All bowl games are.
Yeah, it's a stopgap until the games that really matter.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hope – I mean, God, I've heard some people talking about expanding the field to 24. It's like, no, please don't get any more than 16.
No, because then, again, if you're going to expand the field to 24, think how many games you're adding. So you can, on one hand, they're not going to say, oh, we care about player safety, but hey, you're also going to play 26 games this year. Like they can't, it's just, they would have to start cutting into the regular season. We'd have to go back to an 11 game regular season.
Yeah. Cause that'd be five games. If you've got 24 teams,
yeah,
you'd have to win
just
five games.
Non-conference games.
Yep.
Like that's all they do. So I don't think, that's too many at the end of the day. But again, it's not even about the number right now. It's how we go about picking the number. We've had problems picking two teams back in the day. The way we go about it, especially right now with the automatic bids, is the wrong way to go about it.
Well, a problem, and the biggest problem, is you can't do it like the NFL because you've got 130-something teams.
Yeah,
everybody,
that's impossible. Yeah. Impossible. Now, I mean, you would just need to eliminate the automatic bids. I mean, that's really the way to do it. Because, again, I mean, every conference championship game is not created equal. I'm not saying take away the conference championship games. But it needs to be, at the end of the day, the 12 best teams. And if you're like, well, that just means if you win your conference championship, you're in anyway. No, it doesn't. Look at Duke.
No, that's exactly right.
I mean, even getting there, BYU went 11-1, lost to the same team twice. So now they're 11-2, and they're not going to get in. So, to me, why would you not just go ahead and say, all right, let's take the 12 best teams?
It would be great. The problem you've got is I don't think the SEC or Big Ten are very keen on that. They want to be guaranteed their four teams and then have some shots at wild cards as well.
Yeah, but I mean, knowing these guys, heck, you could get 7 teams in 1 year if you just take the top 12. I think the SEC and Big Ten is going to be fine either way you slice it. They're going to get
Should
rid of
be.
Whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they're going to, I mean, heck, what did the SEC get in this time? 5?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, imagine if they'd have taken the top 12. You'd gotten at least six in there. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
man.
Then you'd have been still, you know, somebody. If I mean, that's only bringing in one of Texas or Vandy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I don't think the SEC or Big Ten will ever make out bad in whatever format they go in. It's just that they just won't. Too much is going for them.
No, you're right. It's just we'll see how quickly, you know, things can change. Usually it takes something that the whole country gets in an uproar about, and there's some, you know, there's obviously some complaining from different areas, not just talking Notre Dame this year, but not enough, I don't think, to just say, hey, we're going to forget the way we've been doing it and start over.
Oh, yeah, look, more people hate Notre Dame than love them, and a lot of people love Notre Dame. It's just, mm-hmm. just part of it. You know who I don't hear complaining? Is any of those Group of Five people that just talk about how oppressed the Group of Five is. They got two in.
Yeah, that's right.
The Group of Five got two in. That's, if you really think about it, it's insane. It's insane. So you don't hear any of the Group of Five complaining.
No, you're right. Crazy things, though. I mean, you've got games where coaches are either coaching and about to leave, or the coach is left in the situation there at Ole Miss here in the playoffs. So that's where we are in these days in college athletics with the calendar. We've talked about this, I don't know how many times. Seems like every week we talk about the calendar, and there's really not a whole lot that can be done to improve on what we have right now, I don't think.
No, I mean, I've always been a proponent of moving the season up. I think we start too late.
It'd be great if you could end, yes, if you could end by New Year's or very close to New Year's. But then again, I think that's where TV wants to have, they want to have some other games as we're heading toward the Super Bowl.
Yeah, look, TV's always going to win out. That's the biggest hurdle you got to get over, because that's the biggest moneymaker. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy times. And listen, like Auburn turning down a bowl game, even though they're 5-7, it's the right move.
Yes.
Like, it's the right move by goal. Like, typically you would want those extra practices if you had been here a year, but you haven't. Like, you're still literally building the foundation to the building. You can't start, you know, painting the lounges right now. It's not in the cards. So it's a smart move in that instance. I mean, the Ole Miss one with Lane is just, it's absolutely insane. But you know what's got to be fun, Bill? If you're a guy like Colin Klein right now, the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M, mm-hmm. you've already been named the next head coach at Kansas State, but you get to coach in the college football playoff and you're calling the plays. Buddy, I am letting it fly. We are emptying the bag. You want to talk about just fun playing the game and coaching the game? That's got to be a blast.
Yeah, you're right. But you're really right about the calendar thing. It there's no way we are ever going to be able to fit the seasons just into the academic terms. That's just something that isn't going to work, and that's
a
shame.
Well, look, at what point does academics not matter anymore? Like, it's,
we're getting closer and closer.
Basketball. Like, you think Zion Williamson went to a class at Duke? Why? I just wonder at what point, like Bryce Underwood, they paid him $12 million to go to Michigan. Now, I didn't see his contract. I'm sure there's some stipulation in there about grades. But what happens when the NCAA and college football break off? Like, do grades even matter anymore?
Probably not.
I mean, look, go play good. That's the way I see it.
That's it. Jake Crane with us as he is each Tuesday. Jake, I know there is so much going on, as you were saying right at the outset. What's the latest happening on Crane and Company? What you got coming up?
Oh, man. Well, look, we're obviously talking about the college football playoff. Put out a preview of the Alabama-Oklahoma game today. Going to do one for A&M Miami tomorrow. A few bettors out there, we're getting into that, too. But also, we're going to do grade the coaching hires later this week. And obviously, Alex Golish will be in there and talk about him. So, look, if you love college football, and look, college basketball's right here with us. We're going to start kind of chopping it up with that soon. So, just go to YouTube. It's Crain and Company, and come hang out with us.
Great stuff, as always. Congratulations on the Christmas shopping being done, Jake. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for ending the phone call on that, because you just reminded me of it. Now I'm excited again.
Have a great week, Jake.
All right, Bill. Thanks, buddy.
All right, get to our final break. Stick with us as we wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive. Experience and knowledge from the
pros.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Tuesday. And yeah, our thanks to Jake Crane of Crane & Company joining us this hour, and of course, Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, with us in hour number one. Yeah, hopefully Dan's feeling a little bit better and able to be back tomorrow. Jason Caldwell should be in with us, either here in the studio or by phone early on. We'll get his thoughts on as this, Auburn football and basketball getting the week off for finals before Chattanooga in the holiday Hoopsgiving over in Atlanta. Meanwhile, football, Alex Golish continuing to officially add to his staff, and we were talking about it a while ago, so I believe we can sort of run down and thanks to a couple of the websites, the AuburnSports.com and Auburn Undercover for sort of keeping things on like the same page when you're started looking at the staff now for Alex Golish. Offensively, Joel Gordon is going to be the quarterback coach, play caller, and offensive coordinator. Could be co-offensive coordinator. I've seen a couple of places where Cody Burns could be the co-offensive coordinator. He will be the associate head coach. I think Auburn still hasn't determined exactly running back receivers. Cody could coach either. We still don't know the status. Will Marcus Davis be back? But Todd Hodanik is the offensive line coach. Defensively, obviously, DJ Durkin is the defensive coordinator, and Auburn listed him as linebackers. The other defensive coaches, Vontrell King-Williams, officially announced today. I'd forgotten that DeMarcus Van Dyke looks like he is going to be one of the defensive assistants, possibly, in the secondary, either the corners or safeties coach. And then today, word that Coleman Hutzler, former Mississippi State defensive coordinator and longtime SEC assistant, will be the edges coach. So getting closer to that full staff. We'll talk to Jason about that and more tomorrow. And of course, players. I think Auburn's had 8 players enter the portal, and we'll talk to him about that and much more on tomorrow's show. But we're out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. Again, our thanks to Jake and Andy and all of our listeners and callers. That's going to do it for today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.